Hi, I'm Janine of Creatrix Matrix. Welcome to Real Talk, where I sit down with a cup of tea and some very interesting women, and we talk. I call it an interview because I ask questions, but really, it's simple conversation, just two people talking. Remember that? I get to take a look into their creative process, and you get to come along. So get your tea, get cozy, and let's go. Hello and welcome everyone listening to Real Talk with Creatrix Matrix. And today I'm sitting down with Makini Dewayowa of Makini Integrated Health. And just to let you know, she and I are longtime sister girl friends. And it's such a pleasure to sit down and talk to her about what she's doing for the community and for the world, for that matter. I'm really excited and happy to welcome you, Makini.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's go back to the beginning. So like when we first met, it was more than 10 years ago, almost 13 years ago. Your oldest boy and my son were 4 years old and they are now 17.
Amazing.
That's crazy. That is really crazy. So we met because of our kids, right? And I first was aware of your love and passion for all things body. I know because one day I looked at your keychain. Do you remember that keychain?
Oh, yes.
And what was it?
It was a spinal column, right?
Yeah, and I'm like,
and I'm a pelvis.
I'm like, yes, yeah, a spinal column and a pelvis, like skeleton. And I'm like, okay, I just have like a little initial J for my name, and you know, a little trinket that I got in Hawaii. This girl has a spinal cord. There has to be something behind it. And I asked you, I'm asking like, Makini, why do you have a spinal cord on your keychain? And you told me because I love the body and everything about it. And I'm like, wow, like that is dedication. And that's like a constant reminder.
Yes.
Is that why you did it?
Yes. I mean, it's just love and wanting to represent it all the time.
And honestly, whenever I saw that, because like we've been around each other so many times, hopping in the car, you've got your keys. I'm like, there's that keychain. She is really into the body. And that love was represented by the fact that you used to be a dancer and you are a dancer, just not currently active. Was that your first foray into the body and what it could do? Tell us about that.
I would say dance was my first connection to my body and what it can do, and then what other bodies can do. But I would say that my very first connection with the body was when I was maybe 7 years old, and I was watching a PBS special, The Miracle of Life. Do you remember that? They go through like birth from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And you know, I imagine some kids would have been out playing, but I was like, you know, riveted. And I clearly remember that as being the first time that I realized that I was into all that stuff.
Yeah. Like, so were you like, this is inside me, this is inside everyone, I want to know more? Or
it's kind of like when you first learn about space and it just blows you away. There's stars and galaxies. It was like that, like just a connection to truth. I imagine how an astronomer finds that they love learning about space. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I learned that I love learning about the anatomy and physiology of the body.
That just gave me a chill. Like, you learned your truth at 7 years old. Some people are still looking for their truth.
Yeah, I got a glimpse.
Yeah, that is really amazing and wondrous. And then when I met you, and currently still, you were a birth worker, mm-hmm. a doula, correct?
Correct.
And so bringing life, helping mm-hmm. mothers to be in their families, bringing life into being. And you've been doing that for how long?
19 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of time getting to know intimately mm-hmm. what our bodies can do and how wondrous they are. And what was the first awakening of the idea that you wanted to broaden who you worked with and expand out from mothers to be and women to mm-hmm. everyone?
That's a good question. I think it may have began years before that. Mm-hmm. I definitely thought that in life, my love of
your love of what were you going to say?
Oh, the truth is probably that my love of my grandfather really anchored me in thinking about health and holistic health. Maybe even before that, I told you about being seven, mm-hmm. but even before I was seven, a little bit after being seven, I remember being in maybe 11th grade or 12th grade. And my health teacher just mentioned holistic health. That's all he said. I didn't even know what it meant. I was drinking Kool-Aid and, you know, mm-hmm. It just was a different time back then. And I literally stayed after class, walked up to the teacher and asked, like, what was that? What is that? You know, I want to know more about that. And I kind of began dedicating my life towards knowing more about that. But I didn't know I wanted to live that, but I didn't know I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And after my grandfather passed from cancer, I realized, oh, I want to figure this out. You know, uh-huh. I want to give health to the people. I want to help people prevent things like that. And back to birth work, I've always known that I wanted to work in holistic health. And it wasn't until I had my own children that I realized, okay, I think the way I do holistic health is going to be with women and babies, uh-huh. you know, so yeah. it started there. Right. But that deep desire to offer holistic health to people in general for their whole body wellness that never left and was stronger than ever. And it was just time, especially after COVID, I thought it's time to just hold a bigger umbrella for more people.
Yeah. Yeah. We need new solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I remember how excited you were when you were telling me of the seed ideas for McKinley Integrative Health. We were walking. I feel like it was before the pandemic started mm-hmm. that you were like kicking this idea around. I think it was in part of the time when you were studying the modality where you were like, you would pinch my hand and uh-huh. tell me like I was too dehydrated and uh-huh. like maybe I should put some salt in this or that. What was that you were learning at that point?
Microscopy, live blood cell and dried microscopy. I remember being at an event where I learned about it myself. I believe it was Unleash the Power Within with Tony Robbins. And he was talking about how it meant so much to him that his wife was a microscopist and that's a solution to getting a glimpse into your health because mm-hmm. the cells don't lie. And that was his conversation. The cells don't lie about your health. Like no. We can talk about it. We can surmise that we're doing okay. But if you can actually look at, I love science, you know, I love research-based solutions and it just felt like a perfect idea to be able to like look at your cells and learn how you are. So yeah. I was studying that at the time.
Okay. So mm-hmm. that explains it. Because you were explaining it to me at the time, and I'm like, okay, so you're looking at the blood, either dry or fresh. And of course, that makes sense to me that, you know, you can tell what's going on with a person. And I think it's so important because it's individual. Yeah. It's not just like, you know, people in your demographic who live like you do and who live where you live and then about your age. Because how many times have people been misdiagnosed because of a generality? Mm-hmm. My grandmother, speaking of grandparents, my grandmother told me of a time that she had to self-advocate at the hospital because they were coming at her with a syringe. She was in there. She used to faint. Mm-hmm. You probably remember that. Just fall out for no reason. And for years they were trying to figure out, well, this is before she lived with me. Yeah. And she ended up in the hospital after one of those little fainting spells. Mm-hmm. And she told me that they had come at her in the hospital with a syringe. And she's like, wait a minute, what is that? Yeah. And they're like, that's your insulin. And she's like, I'm not a diabetic. No, ma'am, it's your insulin. She's like, I am not a diabetic. Right. You will not inject me with that. And they're like, well, okay, fine. Well, wait a minute. Let me look at your chart. Yeah. And sure enough, they looked at her chart, but they had assumed, I don't know how, somehow they had assumed without fully looking at her medical history that being a Black woman over the age of 80 years old, that she was automatically diabetic. Mm-hmm. They could have killed her.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So yeah, that just, it just really illustrates how important personalized, integrative medicine is to caring for the whole human being.
And helping people, like that example with your grandmother, helping people know how they are doing, what their conditions are. Because someone might have easily said, really? You know, I need insulin. Yeah. Okay. You know, like you trust your doctor and you should. But you also have to know how you are and what's going on with you. And that's what I love about holistic health is that you get to learn about your whole body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that to me is so important. And I just wanted to go more specifically into what it is that you do at McKinney Integrated Health, integrative health.
Yes, McKinney Integrative Health. Well, I have this just this obsession with health that comes from a root to branches perspective. You know, how can we look at health holistically from not just I liken the branches to be your symptoms. You know, I have a rash here, I'm a little tired, I'm constipated, you know, I have a variety of conditions, but so often we look at those branches and those symptoms and we treat that.
Yeah.
And we're never
pointing to something.
Right. We're never dealing with like why it's just the fruit on the tree. You know, why is the fruit bad? Yeah. Something is going on with the tree itself. It needs nourishment. It needs care. It needs something like a check engine light. Mm-hmm. On a car.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So say if I were to come in and I'm complaining that I'm having headaches and say sensitivity to light, what would your first step be when intake with me.
Headaches and sensitivity to light. You know, what's funny about that is what I do first is back it way up. That's my training in functional nutrition. It's my sense is to, yes, I absolutely hear that. Let's talk about that. You know, how long, you know, we get the intake form and we get all the information about what you're experiencing right now. But we really don't do a lot until we get to back it way up. I get to know a little bit more about you, about your parents, perhaps about your birth, about your blood type. Just, you know, we have this trifecta of non-negotiables
What are those?
It's blood sugar balance, elimination, digestion, and blood sugar balance, elimination, and sleep. And it's almost as if it's really hard to help support you in that branches to root kind of healing, or, you know, roots to branches healing, mm-hmm. without laying a foundation of wellness first. So it's not that we don't address like what your symptoms are, but we have to know a lot about you in order to even assume that your sensitivity to light is the same as another's.
Right. So you're not going to immediately assume, that I'm having migraines because of the reason that somebody else might be having migraines. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay.
And the truth is when we start balancing blood sugar, elimination, and sleep, you might notice that it's already tapering off, mm-hmm. you know, your symptoms, and mm-hmm. sometimes not. But at that point, we get to really understand, this is different. Mm-hmm. This isn't about lifestyle. This might be, you know, some wiring that we can look more into, and we can talk about testing.
Mm-hmm. So it's a step-by-step approach. It's mm-hmm. not like from the get-go, you're like, okay, you're mm-hmm. in the program and you're doing all of the things.
Yeah.
So it's a step-by-step individual approach.
Right. It's not just, that sounds like migraines. Here's migraine medicine. Or even here's migraine herbs, you know, because that's the same thing is just treating symptoms.
Yeah.
Although sometimes we need symptom relief right away while we work on something. And then, you know, that's where research-based safe things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also say that it's not just about functional nutrition and consulting, but often my work is health coaching and like doula work. It's a real pleasure to just be with someone in their own health journey and help them figure it out for themselves. Because often I can think about it, I can take all your information in, and I can guide you. But the truth is, we know ourselves best. And that's often the first way to go, is to just to sit and talk to someone and understand, what's your why? What's your wellness vision? You know, where do you want to go? And yes, you have a chief complaint. What do you think it is? Often people diagnose themselves perfectly. It's always a really good start, but it's not until we get talking to someone about it that we really can hear our inner wisdom guide us.
That is so different from a traditional allopathic approach, where you come into the office, you fill out the litany of things that you haven't had. You mm-hmm. just, no. Usually, hopefully you're, that for me, it's no.
Yeah.
But you're really asking for their opinion. There's no one really asks for your opinion. They ask for, like, you know, dates and times and diseases and facts.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how this gets the people thinking about themselves and their mm-hmm. well-being and how they have been truly. Mm-hmm. It gives permission for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a different approach. For instance, would you have someone keep a journal for a period of time
mm-hmm.
and let you know mm-hmm. what they found or mm-hmm. what they're
Definitely. Okay. Yeah. That's helpful. I mean, it all depends on what is going on and what they want to do, because again, people have a choice and they should have a choice in their healthcare. But often we do, yes. One, it's good to keep your own journal, just like, this is my vision. This is what I'm trying. This is what is working and not working. But it's also good to literally keep a diagnostic journal.
Uh-huh.
Like a food, mood, poop journal.
Food, mood, poop?
Yes. Food, mood, poop.
That's a good segue. I understand that a lot of people out there are really squeamish. They're like, once it's out of them, it's none of their business. But what you and I both know is that, you know, Ayurveda teaches that that's a pretty good indicator of what's going on inside you, because it came out of you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of information to be had. Gleaned.
So you're kind of a poop whisperer?
I endeavor to be a poop expert. I think that we could learn a lot. But food mood poop says, what did I eat? How do I feel? And yeah, what happened when I eliminated it? And that tells us so much. We are not always as conscious as would benefit us about what we're eating and how it's affecting us and how the day to day goes. So we can get a lot of information from being conscious for even just 5 days.
Yeah. Can you give the people who are listening an example of how that might work? Mm-hmm. Eating something, how it might make you feel and what you saw mm-hmm. when you looked. Can you give a real world mm-hmm. example of that? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be from yourself. It can be from one of your lovely children.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, I mean, we've all had the experience of eating something and maybe right off, feeling great. Like, oh, that was so good. Okay, let's go. But then maybe an hour later, where's the bed? Like, mm-hmm. I'm tired and I just feel irritable and crazy and, you know, mm-hmm. and I can't do it. That's an example of if you were doing a food journal, mm-hmm. you would write that and you might even ask yourself, what was I eating? You might realize that always happens. And you always eat that at 2 o'clock, you know, uh-huh. and you always have that slump and you're falling asleep on your way home from work. You know, like there's a pattern sometimes and we don't even notice it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the same goes with poop. There's someone very close to me that who shall remain nameless, but noticed that they felt constipated at this time in their life. And then they started to notice after they spent some time without gluten that their constipation went away. Didn't make the connection though until they're, you know, in that process of self-awareness mm-hmm. and they eat gluten again, constipation's back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's very helpful.
Yeah, that really is helpful. And once it's in your mind, it doesn't go away. I remember we had a conversation probably at this point, maybe six years ago or so, mm-hmm. where we were talking about nightshades and you were mm-hmm. talking to me about nightshades. Because I was, you know, I'm like 10 years mm-hmm. older than you and mm-hmm. I'm like whining about like this ache and pain, right? Yeah. And I'm just like, telling you, get ready.
Yeah.
And so you were like, well, have you been eating nightshades? You know, and I know what nightshades are, but I'm not always thinking about it when I'm eating it, right? I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, so I love tomatoes. And it's so interesting. Like the nightshade season is all at once and they're all things we love to eat together.
Right.
I like tomatoes.
Yeah,
they
all go together in the same meal.
I like peppers. I like eggplant. And like so many cuisines put at least tomatoes, peppers, mm-hmm. and eggplant in some dishes together. All together.
Oh yeah.
And so I started paying attention to what I could get away with. Let's mm-hmm. just be honest. I'm like, if I have a stew that has, if I want definitely to have potatoes in it, mm-hmm. I cannot put both bell pepper and tomatoes in it. I'm just, or it's a recipe for pain the next day. So I'm mm-hmm. like, I got to choose. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm going to have, you know, a big salad with tomato in it or mm-hmm. whatever, there's no French fries. Because mm-hmm. it's a one. Sometimes a two, depending what the two are, uh-huh. like during the time of like hatch chili pepper season.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. In our house, it's like hallelujah time, hatch chili peppers. And you know, it's summer and those mm-hmm. gorgeous tomatoes are out. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to have those in proximity, tomato and hatch chili pepper. Mm-hmm. But if you do, you better not get anywhere near a potato. And sometimes I'd made a mistake. Yeah. Even this past summer, I made a mistake. And yeah. I wake up in the morning feeling like somebody dropped bricks on me.
Yeah.
Like my elbows, my hips. And I'm like, oh. The first thing when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I nightshaded myself into mm-hmm. this situation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that awareness is, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I won't do that again.
That's fantastic to hear that. You know, That's kind of the joy of my work is to have people not feel terrible, but be aware, because sometimes people don't, you just don't even know what created, you know, X for Y. You don't understand what's happening and you might just wake up and you call it getting older.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might take something for it, like a over-the-counter NSAID or something like that. Mm-hmm. And really, you can just create this awareness. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I would much rather, awareness is a lot cheaper than, you know, supplements mm-hmm. and medicine mm-hmm. and hospital. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're doing is so important in that respect, because we do push off so many of the things mm-hmm. that are avoidable to old age and mm-hmm. to I'm getting older. Yeah. It's not, you know, the old age is not for the faint of heart, you know, all yeah. that stuff we yeah. say, you know, and then you see somebody who's being conscious of what they're doing and they're older than you or whatever. And you're and they're not having the problems that maybe you've seen other people their age have, or mm-hmm. that you're starting to have yourself. And like, what are they doing differently? Mm-hmm. And I think the more conscious we can become of that, it could be revolutionary.
Yeah.
And yeah. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I know that you're doing something right now called Health is the Gift. Yes. So can you tell us about that?
Mm-hmm. Health is the Gift is it's something I've been thinking about for a while. We may have even talked about it. I remember just being with my family one Thanksgiving, and everybody is just laid out. Like, we love being together. There's no drama. So we're very lucky about that. But just, we are laid out, like, ill from Thanksgiving, you know, just not in a, like, the food was bad, but the food was good, you know.
Yeah, not in a sugar hell gang kind of way.
So good. I think at some point, like, one family member is like under a blanket, just like dying, and everyone over eight. And I'm thinking you know, so-and-so is on a diet, or so-and-so, it does have like a health program that they're trying to hold, and everybody's just fallen off of it. And it's the holidays, you know?
Yeah.
And I grew up, like I said, my grandfather, my life, I had a lot of antibiotics as a child with ear infections, and, spent a lot of time not feeling well as a kid. And the health of my people matters to me. The health of people in general matters to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this time, Thanksgiving, the holiday season, where, you know, the stores are filled with cakes and cookies and pies. You're giving it as a gift, and that's good, you know, mm-hmm. and that's beautiful. But how can we do this different? Is there anything that can be different about this time, and what is it? So I asked my family, you know, what do they think about, you know, doing a health challenge, you know, almost, you know, just something around the holidays. And I got so much, you know, feedback from them about, you know, don't touch the holidays. Don't touch Thanksgiving. Don't touch my pie. And so where Health is a Gift came out is that, you know, I thought, I'm not going to give up on wondering if, so I should backtrack and say sociogenomics is interesting to me.
What's that?
How societies, how groups of people interact, and how we influence each other over time. And so, you know, a lot of health isn't just hereditary, it's habitary, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's what our grandparents did and what our mom does. Yeah, it's traditions. It's the food we ate. We all ate the way we all lived, where we all worked, you know, mm-hmm. could be the mine mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that had an impact on us. And so how can we as a group, you know, a group that spends our time together, endeavor to do something new together that's for our health? So that was the idea for Health is a Gift. Can we take the holiday season from Thanksgiving to Christmas or New Year's and just actually know more, have done more for our health, supported each other in our wellness while we still had a family style good time with really good food? So Health is a Gift is, I hope, my gift to people. Inspiring them to take this holiday season to learn new things. And you know how we all at the start of the year, that's when like we drop yeah, everything.
It's a bacchanalia. It's a bacchanalia the week before, and then all of a sudden it's like, I am good now. Right. I'm going to live this life from now on. What is that?
Right. Can we just get like a jump start on that? Or can we just not end and begin? Can it be a continuum of well-being?
Yes.
You know, and things taste good, you know, and our family is there. And we're not just changing our health alone. And then we walk into our family and they're all doing something completely different. And they, I think, unintentionally inspire us to fall completely off of what we're trying to do. And I know that that's not what we want for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. No one wants to have that sense of being like the spoil sport.
Yeah.
No one wants to have that sense of like, oh, I am superior and you're just down in the trenches being bad, you know, because that doesn't help them on their journey. And and also you want to be supported. Yeah. You know, you want to succeed in it. You want to be supported.
Mm-hmm. Those are the three pieces of the whole thing. It's you don't want to be a spoil sport. You don't want to say no to everything. And it's hard enough to do that, you know? And then sometimes food is love. And so you're literally saying, I don't love you. in our culture, it can be like that. Yeah. And then you also don't want, you don't want to be turning your nose up or, you know, hurt feelings. And you also want support. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So how can people get involved with you in Health is a Gift right now?
Mm-hmm. You can find me on my website.
What's that?
www.mckinneyhealth.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. And my contact is there. You can connect with me in those ways. I do want to add that Health is the Gift is for people of color. And the reason why that is that we have so many traditions that come from a lot of things, family, generations, oppression, poverty, slavery. And I find that as a people, we need new traditions, and it helps if those traditions are changing as a group, you know, together in a language, in a common language. And it's just important to me to also disrupt the cycle of chronic disease, you know, chronic illness, heart disease, diabetes.
Expectation that we as Black people get those things. The expectation. I mean, like what I was speaking about.
Yeah.
They expected her to have that out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Not in her chart, not in her. Mm-hmm. They don't know, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The expectation and our own expectation and resignation to acceptance. Oh, my people are claiming high blood pressure. Like, like it's your purse.
Yeah. 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 My blood pressure, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is creeping up. So like, it's just something communal, you know, it's like a communal.
It's almost like a badge of like rite of passage. Yeah. I got the diabetes now. Mm-hmm. I got the high blood pressure now, you know. Mm-hmm. No. I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't want you to have it.
Right. I don't want you to have it. That's kind of where I am, is I don't want anyone. It doesn't matter what race, color, creed, you know, sex, preference you are to be sick or dying or at the risk of any chronic disease or anything that lifestyle medicine can change. But when I look at, especially right now, we're in COVID, and the people who are most impacted are people of color, the people who are, the people who are most at risk of having adverse effects are people of color. Mm-hmm. And I just think sometimes we need a space where we can connect in a way that feels comfortable and safe. And so, but it's not to say that people of color are, we are, our communities are not only people of color, you know? Yeah. And so in that way, everyone's welcome. My husband is adopted and his mom is white, his family, you know, if that's who you spend your time with, that's who needs to come as a group together.
So it is important that even if it may be the impetus of joining Health is a Gift or coming to you to learn about Health is a Gift is individual, you want to have the buy-in of mm-hmm. your family, of your nuclear family, mm-hmm. the people that live with you mm-hmm. in order to be most successful. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I invite people to come for themselves, but also bring a friend, bring a family member, bring someone from your church group, bring someone from who sits in the office next to you, you know, mm-hmm. bring the person who influences your health the most and those groups, bring your whole family and not just the person who's like eating salad and, you know, like gluten-free, grain-free.
We're not going to preach to the choir right. only.
This isn't just a preach to the choir. This is like, bring Auntie so-and-so, bring Uncle so-and-so, bring your grandma. Let's help people see that there's a different way to live.
Yeah, because honestly, with COVID and everything, everybody is looking to improve their health with all these thoughts of comorbidities. That's like the new buzzword. Yeah. What's my comorbidity? Yeah. There is a focus on improving mm-hmm. our overall health and well-being. And I like mm-hmm. I like what we were talking about, your concept of aliveness. It's not just about food. It's not just about physical health. It's about aliveness. What is aliveness to you?
Mm-hmm. I say it multiple times on my website, but I'll say it again. For me, aliveness and for me, health is truly about being able to pursue having the energy to think and be inspired to pursue your dreams and to live life with passion. Aliveness is like how you think and how you move and being able to be inspired by I heard it described as a high porosity for life, you know, for gratitude, for beauty. Yeah. And when we're tired, when we're inflamed, when we have brain fog, we're not in a place to live our best life, or more importantly, to take the steps to live our best life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's setting a foundation for yeah. living the best possible life yeah. for ourselves.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What,
you know, sorry, I just had another thought, which is
what's that?
On the idea of aliveness is I think, and back to the family, it's seeing your kids and your grandkids and your grandkids' grandkids get married, traveling, you know, just having a life well lived and being there for the people who matter most to you for a really long time.
Yeah, that goes back to your why.
Yeah,
because so many times we take this badge of honor about not being quote unquote self-centered, mm-hmm. not being thinking about just ourselves, and we don't allow ourselves to think, hey, you know, yeah, I really would like the privilege of seeing my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I really would like to see, you know, my son, my daughter yeah. get married and be happy and make their mm-hmm. own family. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't
yes.
consider that as our birthright.
Yes.
So is there anything else that you want to get out there? Any other thought that we haven't talked about today, or any other message that you wanted to get out there?
So many things. How much longer do we have?
We have time.
Well, just when you said that about birthright, I got chills because I just think, all humans, all people, my clients, across the nation, I hope one day across the globe can live up to, every every person's birthright, I think, you know, which is just to live a life well lived. You know, we're all here for a reason, and health is necessary. Learning how to have good health is important. There's a quote I love that is, technique is necessary so that the body doesn't get in the way of the soul's expression. When I was a dancer, that was up on the wall at my high school, Kappa, the Pittsburgh Creative and Performing Arts High School. It was up on the wall in the gymnasium where we danced. And I was just that kid that I was always taking stuff like that in. And it stuck with me because in anything that you do, if you're a musician, if you know your chords, if you know, you know your notes, then you can just jam, you know, like you can play what's in your heart. You're not just only reading music. Mm-hmm. You're fulfilling your talent. Same is with health. If you can know the fundamentals, if you can know how food and how lifestyle affects you, you can dance, you know, in the way that you're supposed to, that you're on this earth to. So that's one thought. Mm-hmm. Another thing that two more thoughts come to mind, but one is the idea, a doctor, a functional medicine doctor that I like, Mark Hyman, speaks about having a longer health span. And so a lot of us are dying. We're living longer, but we're dying slowly, you know? So we're dealing with diseases and rashes and problems and symptoms and medications. And it's increasing, but we're not dead. But we're not alive.
Our quality of life.
And that we can have a quality of life into our old age, and we can reverse things in our later years. Absolutely. I see it all the time.
Oh, I've seen it. I've lived with someone that did that. She, my grandmother had the onset of arthritis, and we looked into turmeric, and she began taking a turmeric supplement. And it went away in her 90s. Mm-hmm. She lived to 102, no arthritis.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I say. And she was with you. And so, you know, she's able to like look at her diet and just have that whole life approach.
Yeah. Yeah. There was really something to be said about a multi-generational household. Mm-hmm. Speaking of getting to see your grandchildren, I was her granddaughter and she got to see the birth of her great grandchild and live with him. Yeah. And that was her aliveness.
Yes.
I mean, to be able to have that.
Uh-huh. And yours, you know.
And my, yes.
It goes back and forth.
Yeah.
There's actually studies that say that people are healthier. Senior citizens are healthier when they live with the family or connect with their family and friends more often, and vice versa. That families and young people are healthier when they have other generations in their life. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the way that we were intended to live. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten away from that in our modern lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which brings me to my third thought that I would love to share, which is why I work in integrative health, integrative nutrition, health coaching. And part of what I love about integrative work is that what I mean by the whole person is that there's a lot of factors that impact our health on and off the plate. And so, yes, you can see your health coach, you can see your nutritionist, you can change your diet, you can clean up your diet. But it's hard to maintain a lasting change and complete health until you get to this point where you're looking at what we call primary food. In integrative nutrition, there's secondary food and there's primary food.
Oh, what's that?
And secondary food is like, what's on your plate? You know, is it balance, protein, fiber, fat? I talk about that a lot in my, in my talks, but, and then there's primary food. And that's the food that nourishes you off the plate. And so can you imagine what that is? It could be finances. It could be relationships. You could, how is it afforded?
What you take in.
Mm-hmm. It's what you take in.
Food for your soul.
Right. It's food for the soul. And what is impacting your ability to access better health, better food, better lifestyle? A good example, even with finances, is organic food. It feels really out of reach for a lot of people. And so we don't do it, or we don't consider it, or maybe even we poo-poo it. Like, yeah, we literally squash it. But there are strategies around that. There's strategies around looking at your finances. And so even in a health coaching session, we might be there for health, but mm-hmm. we might be talking about finances.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the foundation for what you buy. Mm-hmm. How much money do I have? How can mm-hmm. I afford this? How can I do
Or how
this?
Can I budget it? Yeah. Or, you know, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But some of the other things are, yes, relationships, how we love, how we are supported, joy, spirituality, self-care, mm-hmm. self-nourishment, so many other pieces. It's worth it to look at your life, your whole life, you know, and see what is affecting your ability to access your best health, your best wellness, and take a how, not if approach to changing it.
Yeah. I will, not I'm going to try to, I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I will, what's in my way and how can I solve that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent. And I know that it's going to help a lot of people. I really thank you. Thank you for coming here today and talking with me on Real Talk. And for everybody listening, again, you can find Makini Duwewa of Makini Integrative Health at www.makinihealth.com.
Yes.
You can also find her on Instagram and Facebook, and contact her there and set up an appointment to get started or continue and to enrich your health journey. That's all we have for today. And I want to thank you all for listening. And we'll see you and here, and we'll be here with you again soon. All right, so that's it. Thanks for joining me here on Real Talk. And be sure to tune in again when we will be talking to more phenomenal women. And also be sure to subscribe, follow me on Instagram, and look for me on MySpace. Just kidding. Anyway, that's it for now. Take care. Bye-bye.